I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
Anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My arms are kind of rash.
Is that a rash?
And I had Asian food, and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Hello to everybody out there. Ben and I are in the studio. We're both, I would say, a little sick.
Just a tiny bit.
Just a tiny bit. We're kind of travel sick.
Yeah. Which either means that we're sick or we're just terrified of being sick and it's planted a seed in our heads.
Yeah. We were both in North Carolina like 5 days ago at a lovely wedding.
Yes.
Katie and Will. Yeah. Shout out to Katie and Will.
Hashtag Katie and Will.
Hashtag Katie and Will. Hashtag beautiful wedding.
Beautiful wedding.
Hashtag beautiful people.
Beautiful people.
We love you.
That's right.
But then, Ben, so I'm about to go to New York today.
And I just got back.
And you just got back from New York. Mm-hmm. And Ben, you, before we walked into the studio, you were telling me that you have some dark feelings about your time in New York.
Oh, not so much this past trip.
No, in general.
Well, I lived in New York for a little while, and I wouldn't say that it was it wasn't the darkest period of my life, but I definitely had to come home. And I was ill prepared, I would say. When I was 18, in my head I was like, where could I go that would be the least like college for college? Hey, New York City.
That's true.
So I went to the New School for Social Research in Manhattan.
Which is the least college-y college you could go to.
It was not at all college.
New School's like, hey, you want to pay a lot of money to just hang out?
Yeah. And I was like, yes.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
As I would. Yeah, I went there, and then when I was 21, I would say the shit hit the fan, and I had to come home. And then every time for like at least 5 years that I would visit there, I would have something very bad happen to me. Like, for instance, I think the first time I went back, I sliced my finger open on a fracture in a window pane.
How? And then, were you touching
I was trying to put the window either up or down. I don't remember. Yeah. Caught my finger on it, and then it just tore. I still don't have feeling in the finger.
No.
I was in the hospital. It's New York, so I was in, like, the emergency room for, like, 4 hours,
yeah.
I would say. The doctor was this doctor named Dr. Wong, who, I'm not shitting you, wore those jams shorts that surfer dudes wear.
Yeah, the one you could get at Ron John Surf Shop
if you ever
passed through Orlando or Cocoa Beach.
That you could get at Dr. Wong's Surf Shop. So that happened. And then another time I went to jail.
Why did you go to jail?
For smoking a joint on the street. This one was on me. It shouldn't
times,
have been a crime.
Though.
Yeah, different time.
Yeah.
Then the third time that I went there, and this is this I would call the darkest period in my life because it's led to some perpetual agony and sorrow.
That is a definition of a dark time.
Yeah. It don't get much darker than that.
the time that made the rest of your life just a litany of sorrows.
Yes, exactly.
Dark time.
Exactly. Long list of sadness started with this one right here. I was in the subway. Listeners, brace yourself. I was in the subway, and this was back in the day when you would actually put a token into the machine.
Oh, I remember.
And I'm led to believe by myself and only myself that this is why they stopped using tokens.
Uh-huh.
I put the token into the slot, and it didn't go through. So it came down through that, like, you know, that little, like, exit station where, like,
yes.
you pull your coin out, right?
Yes.
And I stuck my hand in there to get it.
Oh,
and
no.
I don't know what was in there.
No.
It was either the newest semen of all time. like the guy right before me jerked off in there.
Into the return slot.
Yeah, it was either that or, like, I don't know, it could have been like an evergreen loogie. Like, it was just, like, loogies don't get hard. Madeline's driving at my story. And now she understands why this has caused me my sanity.
Oh, that's horrible.
It's horrible. And I from that point on, I if any sort of, like, unknown substance gets on my hand, and I think you've seen this before. I think you've seen
me
do this. This is the root of this.
Yep.
I have to
scrape
my hand against
30 times, is it?
Yeah, I think it's like 30 to 50.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of times. It's not, the number doesn't matter, but it's got to be a really high number.
It's sort of generalized OCD.
Yeah, basically, until I can feel actual pain, my emotional pain.
I remember that happening. It was like a couple months ago, we were having breakfast before recording, and all of a sudden you were scratching your hand.
Yep, that's why.
And then you were like, oh, sorry, it's no big deal. Just touch the underside of the table and I have to scratch it 50 times.
Yeah, because what happened was I was scratching it on the side of the table because someone touched me on my hand. And it's caused me my relationships with other human beings, or at least as pertains to human touch. I mean, New York, it's a great place. A lot of our listeners are from there. Shout out to you.
Yes.
Hashtag Katie and Will.
I was born there.
Yeah, Madeline was born there.
My husband was
from there.
Was born there and his parents still live there. It's a wonderful city, but you might
but
touch some semen
city.
If you stick your finger in any hole.
Yeah, yeah. Or an evergreen loogie. So I have a lot of pent-up anxiety. About that place.
Yeah. It feels like the story that you just described is like the perfect example to encapsulate sort of germophobia anxiety.
That's where my germophobia folks comes from. If you got a story of where your germophobia comes from,
give it to us with hashtag New York City.
Yeah, New York City.
Please use the hashtag New York City. And tell us why you're germophobic.
Yeah.
Should we start the podcast?
Yeah, I think we could start
the
podcast.
Do it.
Nice.
We have such an awesome guest today with us. We have Alan Rachel. You have seen her on a bunch of different things. You've seen her in about 1 million commercials. Right now, you can see her on The Good Place, on Loosely Exactly Nicole. You've seen her on the television show Selfie. Just open your eyes. You'll see Alan Rachel, and you'll be so happy that you did because she's just such a delight.
Oh, my God. I love you. Oh, that's so sweet.
Well, you're the best. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm so glad to be here.
You're
you guys are the
cool
coolest.
Bone shirt.
Thank you.
It's got a bunch of bones on it.
I don't know what kind of bones they are. I think the one at the bottom is a shofar.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like in Judaism.
Yeah.
Is a shofar a bone? Oh, a horn.
Yeah. It's a horn. Yeah.
And I think that other one's the one above it is a tusk of some sort.
This. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Actually, there's a couple tusks on there.
There's a couple tusks.
Hey.
That middle one looks like maybe a femur. Is that like
that's like a very SVU bone where it's like,
yeah. We found that one and now we need to investigate.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Alan, you have a cool shirt on, too.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got this shirt at a concert because I am a cool lady.
Oh, yeah, you
cool
are.
Lady.
This is also
a Jewish star. Very Jewish themed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is I just saw this band called Bird Cloud, and they're just so cool. My brother introduced me to them like years ago, and they're just these like two like kind of like nasty mean little ladies from Nashville, and they just like sing about their pussies and about like fucking and robo tripping, and
I
like
love that.
I'm sure they're like they're very talented musicians, but like they seem only interested in like playing like basic chords and just sort of like fucking around on stage.
That's great.
And when I got this shirt, here's a weird thing that happened. So I saw them, and then we went over to the merch table. It was like a tiny concert at a tiny little place, and I asked to try on the shirt because I wanted to see if it was the right size. And one of the girls in the band took my shirt off.
Whoa.
She and it happened very slowly. I was wearing like a button-down shirt. I was like, can I just try this on? And she was like, okay, I'll help you. And she like took like unbuttoned my button-down shirt, and I felt embarrassed to say don't. And so I just allowed someone to take my full shirt off, and I was like, I always wear a full coverage bra. It was not scandalous in any way. It was just
a little scandalous.
So slow and weird.
Was there music during it?
Yeah.
Like, and how slow was it?
Yeah,
very slow.
So, wow.
We were kind of like it wasn't like, it sounds very exhibitionist, and it wasn't because it was like, it's like in like a dark venue in like you know, the merch table was kind of in the corner, like, and it was like it felt more like a locker room situation.
Sure. Oh, no, definitely.
But it was still a very surreal memory that I probably shouldn't have allowed to happen in that way.
The first part of your description of that band sounded young Hillary, and the second part, very young Trump.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, am I wrong? Am I wrong about that?
We went from Nasty Woman to Grab Your Pussy.
Yeah, Nasty Woman to Grab Your Pussy. That's, in one story.
I got Hillary and then Trump.
That's, I guess,
and guys, what more evidence that life is complicated and we're all multifaceted.
Oh, God,
and
that's so
confusing identity.
Let's all vote for both. Let's vote for both.
Jesus Christ.
Okay,
gosh.
Let's not.
No, don't even joke.
By the time this comes out, the election's over. If you didn't vote yet, you're in trouble.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
That's...
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that's
but
a
I don't
want to
give... I like this band.
Oh,
I don't
want to
give them a...
No.
It was just kind of there, like, they're sort of, like, loose and cool, and I was like... I can do that.
Right.
That's me too.
I feel like you have a history of drawing this out of service people in one regard or another, and they're a band, but it's but
oh, you're
you know
right.
like
we go
to this restaurant sometimes before this, and they refer one person I think refers to you as Dimples maybe, which is a weird thing for a
one
waitress.
Very mean waitress refers to me as Dimples, and then a friendlier waitress. Mm-hmm.
The smile thing.
Yeah, said I apologized for something, and she was like, with a smile like that, you don't need to apologize for anything.
Oh, my God.
And then,
wait a second. Someone passive-aggressively calls you Dimples?
No, she's mean, except she also she calls me Dimples nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's, I don't know.
Maybe it's passive.
I want to know more about that, but we don't have to talk about it.
I know what. It's all pretty. It's all confusing.
Yeah. People take certain liberties with Madeline. And we'll just leave it at that.
Don't just leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that.
When you leave
Helen.
It like that, it sounds like there is more than just sometimes a waitress is more friendly than you'd think.
Well, also sometimes a band undresses you in front of a crowd.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's true. No, people are very nice to Madeline.
Yes.
In a way that typically I would say they reserve for close friends.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Which makes sense because Madeline.
Yeah.
Because I look like someone you've already met. I'm just Midwestern looking enough that someone's like, I met that lady. Like multiple people have come up to me and said, I know you from somewhere. Mm-hmm. Is it Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
Like people, I look like, you know, I just look like kind of like everyone in a weird way.
I think you exude warmth in a way that a lot of people do not. And it's very inviting. And I just hope, you know, it's not inviting a lot of creeps in your
direction. I've started since I moved lately, like I don't I have a good outdoor mean face now. Mm-hmm. Like used to smile a lot. And then after a homeless lady chased me down my street, I was like, I gotta
rein it in.
Yeah. And so now I usually when I'm just walking around on the street, I usually like harden my face purposefully.
Yes.
And then sometimes when I let my guard down at like a restaurant with a friend or at a concert for a band I really like, then
We're co-hosts. Yeah. You want to throw her around with friend? No, we're good friends. Madeline and I are good friends. Well, we have a way that we start the podcast usually, but I kind of like this subject matter that we're playing with now. And I feel like it's something that could apply to you. You're both pretty ladies that are nicer than Los Angeles pretty ladies usually are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably a big part of the reason that you're approachable. And I would guess you're probably approachable as well, huh? Do people?
I'd like to say yes. I don't know if it's a problem, but something I just assume a new person is like, oh, you're good.
Yeah.
You're good people.
Yeah.
And you're disappointed a lot of the time. but on the occasions when you're not and you know, the person turns out to be cool, that's always a nice thing. Yeah.
Can you think of does a specific example come to mind when you talk about being disappointed?
Well, I was just in Vancouver a couple weeks ago, and I was at the hotel bar with a friend of mine, and we were talking about it's this hotel where they call it the Slutton.
Wow.
It's called the Sutton Place Hotel, but they call it the Slutton because they shoot all these CW shows in Vancouver. And I guess they call it the Slutton because all the CW stars hook up at this hotel.
Okay.
And there are also potentially prostitutes in the hotel bar. But it's like a very warm environment. Uh-huh. At the same time, it's very like, oh, it was renovated in 98 and like just charming, and the same bartender every night whose name is Ryan, and he's very just warm and harmless seeming and was like very nice and on top of it. And
when you set somebody up as harmless, you're really getting ready for a big fall.
Oh, yeah. Right before the commercial break.
So we're having drinks, and this is like the second night we are having drinks together at this place. And it's like, oh, Ryan's here again. He seems great.
Yeah.
And he's like the guy and knows everybody there. And we like invite him over to be like, how's it going, man? Like, you must, you know. You must be responsible for so many hookups at this hotel. And like a charm. He's like, well, I'm responsible for a few marriages, actually.
Whoa.
And we're like, oh, my God, that's
so
amazing.
Sweet. Yeah.
And then he goes on to say, like, we were closing and I invited all these people back to my place. And then two of the patrons hooked up in my daughter's bedroom.
Whoa.
And then we were like, oh, no.
God, that's the kind of person you just want a soundbite from. You
don't want
elaboration.
No, I don't want to know about your daughter's bedroom.
Gross.
I don't know.
Also, where was his daughter?
It's
fresh enough though that he still has a daughter's bedroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It got very complicated and sort of dark, like very quickly.
Yeah.
But that was one of those times when it's like, oh, you sweet, harmless person.
Yeah. And he's like, a couple people fucked in my daughter's bed. Yeah.
If you've encountered someone you thought was nice who turned out to be a real sicko, hashtag Ryan.
Poor Ryan. You're great, Ryan.
You're great, Ryan. We love you.
We love you, man.
Okay. Well. Yeah. Okay. Let's go to our old standby question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Alan, on a scale of 1 to 10, mm-hmm. how much do you fear death?
I fear death a good amount. I fear death on airplanes a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like the crashing kind of death?
The crashing, usually when it gets turbulent and lasts too long.
You go there. How quickly do you start thinking like this might be it?
Pretty. If it's aggressive and it lasts for like, I don't know, longer than a minute, it's like, this could be it. Yeah. And then I.
And then what's your go-to move? Are you a hand holder? Do you take a pill?
I clench and then just sort of like go inside my own brain until it's
like kind of like meditate.
I think, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We were just talking yesterday about how we hadn't had this conversation about like the fear of flying and like fear of flying. In like the worst possible.
Yeah.
Sense.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So does it get you? Do you start thinking about it when you're on ground, or it has to be turbulence?
No, it has to be turbulence, and I have to be like tuned in enough to it. If I'm like conked out, it's, you know, and sleep through it, it's no big
deal. Do you take like Valium or anything like that?
I don't.
Yeah.
Maybe I should. Mm. It's something to think
it's
about.
Nothing, sir.
Yeah, totally. I think I fear death on like roller coasters too, or like
too.
That what's the one where they just drop you?
Oh, like a demon drop kind
of thing.
Like
a Tower of Terror type of thing.
Totally.
I hate awful. Ooh, I hate it. I won't do it.
No.
I read
an article once about like some woman who got scalped, and I was like,
"Yeah, I mean,
I heard
tell
about a lady
us,
who was scalped on a roller coaster when I was a kid, and that I always will like make sure my hair is so tightly taken every time I go on a roller coaster.
Yeah, wear like a swim cap.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mine is like I hearing about people getting sucked into escalators because their hair is too long or because of a tie.
Awful.
Yeah, like I won't wear a tie on an escalator. That sounds crazy to say. I won't wear a tie on an escalator. Like I never wear a tie.
And then put it back on afterwards.
Look, if I'm going to wear a tie, if it's your wedding or your funeral or something, let's keep it on the ground floor.
Just keep it.
That's such a reasonable ask.
Shopping mall.
Yeah.
I think with the demon drop or the Tower of Terror, like those kinds of things, we've talked about it a couple of times, I feel like, on this podcast. Like, my greatest fear is that I would die doing something that, like, one, I didn't like that much, and two, that was, like, stupid for me to even try.
Yeah.
Like, why am I up here in the first place? Even if it goes well, I'm not really enjoying myself.
Yeah. No. Or a recreational death. I think it maybe says a lot about me, though, that I would rather die doing something I'm obligated to do than something just for fun.
Totally. Right.
Which I think is stupid, because it's like, why not die doing something? Like, in my mind, I'm like, well, I'd like at least like to die while I'm like running an errand for someone, something I have to do.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with a recreational death if it was like fun for me. Right. Like if it was like, I don't know, like this podcast is fun, and like if I don't know, if Zig just turns on us one day. And I'd just be like, well, I went out doing what I love.
Yeah, man, totally.
Yeah, I don't think about coming back from this wedding, Ben, mm-hmm. and I, we were on a flight back with like maybe like 7 or 8 of our other friends who are all at this wedding.
Right.
And all of us, when we got off the plane, we realized like all of us had the same conversation essentially, like in our respective rows, about whether it would be a good thing or a bad thing for this plane to crash. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's like, oh, like out the gate, I was like, if I had to be in a plane crash, this one would be kind of nice because, like, so many of our close friends are on this plane.
Sure.
We could all get together and sort of be like, hey, we're going out together.
Yeah.
And then Ben was like, yeah, but then also all of us would be dead. So many people would be, like, sad.
Yeah.
You know, it would just have such an impact on one concentrated community of people. So we couldn't – everybody – like the – most people had that reaction as opposed to this would be a good time for us to crash.
I hear that. We could flip it too and say, you know, we are all going to die.
Yeah.
So at least, you know, you concentrate it so you don't have people like sad a bunch.
They're
just one big sad right now.
Yeah.
And then you're set for a while.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's true.
It'd be like it'd be like the UCB version of like the Big Bopper Buddy Holly.
Yeah. And they make a movie about it called One Big Sad right now.
I think that's I 100% agree with that. Like really just consolidate that sad feeling. Yeah.
One big sad. Yeah.
Do you have much experience with death in your life? The sad of death?
The majority of my grandparents were dead before I was born.
How many of them?
3.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I know.
Like did they die when your parents were like young?
My dad's dad died when he was like 10.
Oh wow.
And then my mom's dad died when she was 20.
Yeah.
And then my grandmother, my mom's mom died when I was like 10. But that was the, and then my dad, we didn't really have a relationship with my dad's mom.
So you effectively have no grand.
I have none now.
Yeah.
Which, I'm so envious of people who have their grandparents till they're like adults.
Yeah. I had 3 grandparents up until like 2 years ago.
Wow.
I had 3 grandparents, and like now, like I just recently dropped down to 1.
Oh,
but like,
God, I'm sorry.
Oh no, but I'm 31 and have had 3 like happy living grandparents for like pretty much like for most of my adult life.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's
plus,
so
plus
awesome.
You're a grandma now yourself. So.
I know. I mean, I'm like pretty much just the old lady.
That was a poor timing for a burn. I apologize.
No, it was great timing for a burn. It was a well timed burn, and it was less of a burn and more of an accurate observation. Do you think like not Like, have you thought at all about how, like, I feel like a lot of people's relationship to mortality sort of begins with their grandparents, because I feel like that's like, those are the first, like, kind of firsthand deaths you experience. Do you think not, like, kind of, like, not really experiencing that in your adult life, like, has shaped the way you think about life and death at all, or not really?
Well, here's what's interesting. My mother has always been just very spiritual and, like, believes in reincarnation and all this other stuff. So after her mom died, we would, like, go into my mom's bathroom and turn off all the lights, and she had this mirror set up, and we'd light a candle, and you're supposed to stare at yourself, your own face, in this candlelight until it, like, distorts. And then you're potentially supposed to sit. I always fell asleep, so I never experienced any of this.
When you say you're supposed to, who says? Who? What is it?
Books? Like, I don't know. Yeah. What's that guy's name who did? John Edwards, who did that crossing over.
Yeah.
My mom was, like, a huge, huge believer in all that stuff.
Really?
That's really interesting.
So my 8th grade speech was on reincarnation.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about it?
I don't remember any of it. I wish I still had a copy of it. I'm surprised they let me do that.
It was just a normal school?
It was just, it's like very artsy and small, and we called our teachers by their first names.
Yeah, they must have loved it.
Yeah. I hope.
Do you believe in reincarnation?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, loose, I'm open to it.
Yeah.
What, explain the specifics. Like, what do you think, how do you think reincarnation works? Like, do you think
I think we are connected to certain souls for, like, our entire existence, potentially. Just in the way that you encounter certain people in life and you're like, I know you. We have, there's something here that is deeper than just a normal, regular interaction.
Yeah.
Then you sometimes end up connecting with those people and, I don't know. There's stuff in that capacity that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like somebody, I think it was Marcy Jarrow, who was a guest a while back.
Yes, Marcy had talked about
Yeah. She was telling me, like, she was reading something about how, like, you know, there's, like, a finite number of souls out there, and, like, your soul evolves based on whether it, like every soul has sort of a lesson it needs to learn.
Yes.
And, like, you keep sort of living the same type of life or type of lesson until you have learned
through.
It.
Totally.
And I feel like that, like, I've been thinking about my life in those terms a lot, because, like, you know, when it just seems like you're, like, butting up against sort of the same wall in an aspect of your life, like, I've started to be like, this is not a failure. This is just, like, there's something I need to learn how to do here. And it's like, I'm being forced to try to learn it until it happens, and then this, you know.
I think there's – I always find comfort, too, in that type of thing, when it's like failures or just shit in general that doesn't go your way. And it's like, if you can find meaning in it to some degree, if you can find a lesson in it, I'm able to, like, make peace with it versus just like, cool, this just happens for no reason. Yeah. And, like, there's nothing there's nothing behind it.
What you guys are talking about, it often resonates with me as anxiety. Mm-hmm. That, like, anxiety is the thing that you're attempting to work through in this existence. Mm. All those things that you're too conscious of on the earthly plane, that's what you're dealing with on Earth. And then if you can get to the point where you find peace, then you're ready for the next thing.
Yeah.
But it's just like a series of things that, like, that you're a little too obsessed with.
Yeah.
Here in your life. And then if you stop and think about most of those things, you're like, huh, I don't know why I was so obsessed with that.
Yeah. Totally.
That's why I know I'm ready for the next plane.
Hell yeah.
I've been thinking, so this is, like, something I've been thinking about lately. It's not really, like, fun or funny, but, like, so I very much believe that, like, and I feel like I often, like, in my failures or struggles have this sense of, like, oh, this is all happening for a reason. This is all like, or like I'll look at, you know, the past 5 years of my life and I'll go like, oh my God, remember that thing that seemed so bad? It really helped me get to this thing yes. that's so much better. But then I think like, is that just a privileged mindset? Like, are our struggles so much like not about survival that we're allowed to sort of contextualize them and wrap them into this like narrative where the end of the story is like just our success and our happiness? Like, and it's like, because there are so many people whose lives are truly a daily struggle. And yes. I just, like, if you think everything happens for a reason, then you're saying, oh, like, a bunch of, like, black people are being gunned down on the streets for a reason.
Sure.
Or, like, you know, a bunch of kids are being blown up in Syria for a reason.
Right.
It just feels like... like, I'm always, like, so of two minds about it.
It, like,
and,
like, trivializes it in a
yeah,
like, fucked up way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like, after reading, what's that book? Between the World and Me. Oh. Between the World and Me. Did anybody read that book?
No.
It was just, like, talks about racism in a way that made me go, like, ah, damn it. Like, all of the things that I say to make me feel like I'm, like, on a good path towards improvement is like a little bit of just a winner's narrative, you know? And
sure.
it like, I think like there's still, I feel like a little bit like I felt in college, because like in college I went through a period where I was like, I got to give away all my stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a piece of trash. Like I was like also like reading the Bible a lot and I was like, Jesus gave away all his things.
Oh,
I was
God.
Like really like, like I couldn't feel okay about
yeah.
being happy at all. And then I kind of like, figured my shit out a little more and like became a lot more well balanced.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm in like a mini period of that where like I'm not going to go off the deep end the same way I did like when
sure.
I was like,
right.
you know, 19 years old. But I like it's just it's a thought I've been bumping up against
totally.
A lot.
I mean, even that self-awareness, though, says it's like, hey, man, the fact that you're like checking in with yourself and, you know, you're not just assuming that you're perfect and you've got it all figured out. Isn't that part of it?
Yeah, I think, yeah. Yeah.
I think you're wonderful.
Oh, thank you. I'm not
you're
like, right. I don't know if there's like a good answer. Like, this is like not a fun place to bring the conversation, but it's like,
like Alan said, yeah. We think you're pretty good.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying is that I don't think success or failure matters at all. I think only
yeah.
anxiety matters. I
yeah.
think only
yeah,
the
yeah,
things
yeah.
that you're worrying about matter, and that your job is just to stop worrying. That
yes.
all of our jobs is to stop worrying. That like that victory that we're aiming for is not a victory. It's just another.
Yeah.
It's just another point.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I. This was another thing that happened when I was in Vancouver a couple weeks ago. But one of the Teamsters was this 70-something-year-old guy, this German guy who had lived, like, I don't know, seven different lives. He was, like, his mom was a single mom of five boys, and, like, they couldn't afford to, you know, couldn't afford to feed them. Ooh. And he, like, worked in the oil fields, and then he, like, walked thousands of miles, and like, I just like, he's very philosophical and has read all these books and was just I'm ruining everything.
No.
He
no,
said to me, but
great.
We had these like unbelievable conversations just about like the meaning of life and being grateful for even the smallest moments, even when you're sitting in fucking traffic and
yeah.
you're
yeah,
like,
yeah.
this is, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
And then being able to appreciate like the smaller things
yeah.
and he was saying something to me that I was just like, oh, fuck, this is everything. He was saying this philosopher's book that he read, who I don't remember right now, but the sentiment of the lesson was, I don't mind what happens. So in life, you are going through it and you are pursuing things because they mean something
yeah,
to you.
Yeah.
And you're not looking at it, you're not existing in that only for the result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're not so torn up about, you know, it being a very specific result. And if it's not that exact result, then the whole thing was worthless. And that was very interesting to me. And
yeah.
I've found myself since then just in moments of more anxiety, just being like, okay, if I cannot worry about
the result of this scenario. Yeah. What is that? What does that do?
Yeah, that's, I would say that's a perfect description of what I was trying to say. I didn't do that great a job of it. I got maybe have a little head.
You did pretty good.
That's exactly it. That like that the results are. The results are all going to be temporary, whether there are successes or are failures. That, you know, in particular, as you were talking about that, I was reminded of all those times when, like, Madeline and I have talked about this before, where, like, you start, like, slamming your fist on the steering wheel in traffic trying to get from, like, Santa Monica here or here to Santa Monica. Yeah. And you're just like, you know, I'm only trying to get to Santa Monica at 2:30 today. That's not, like, my whole life.
No.
It's just
no.
I want to be there at 2:30 today.
Totally.
But maybe, and I don't know if this is going to be the case, but maybe the fact that I'm stopped right now, if I wasn't so enraptured by like the failure of not making it where I was trying to get, I could be thinking about what I usually don't have enough time to stop and think about. And it's so hard when you're in bumper to bumper traffic and like and we actually are trying to accomplish things within that like those parameters of 24 hours in a day.
Yes.
But that if one could achieve it, then it would just be so much easier to do exactly what you said, which is just like I can't remember the exact words, but accept. How was it you said?
I don't mind what happens.
I don't mind what happens. Yeah. If you could just not mind what happens, then you would be open to a million possibilities instead of just the binary option of succeeding or failing in this moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, traffic especially, there's nothing you can fucking do.
No.
You can't do anything.
But I think traffic is like a uniquely triggering experience for so many people because as soon as you get stuck in traffic, at least where my mind goes, is like, I should have left earlier.
Oh, yeah.
I should have taken surface streets. Like, I should have done this. Like
this is
your
fault.
You're such an idiot. Yeah. Like, it's like this idea that like, everything is your fault. And so much when you mind traffic, you're on your way to something where it matters whether you're late.
Yeah.
And so
oh,
you
totally.
Start talking like you're so you're on your way to prove your worth, even if it's just proving your worth to a friend that you can like show up to lunch on time.
Yes. Yes.
So it's like such a microcosm all of the things that like we are stewing about so much of the time.
And like 90% of the time, it doesn't matter.
No.
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 And if we put too much it matters on it, then like just the other day, I can't remember where this was, but I was driving along on the freeway. It must have been here in Los Angeles. And we get to that point in traffic where it comes to a dead stop. And when it's going very slowly, that's just traffic. But when it comes to a dead stop, something happened. And so as you finally get up to the something that's happened, it was a guy who was he was on a motorbike and he got sideswiped by a car. And he was okay.
Yeah.
Like in the grand scheme of things, he was okay. But I always think about the reason that you buy one of those is because you want to avoid traffic, like that you want to be able to zip through. And it's just like, all right, take a moment to slow down.
Yeah.
And because, you know, it's easiest to think of all the failures that we made by not moving quick enough or not starting early enough or whatever. But maybe if you moved quicker, you're the guy on the side of the road, who's, you know, who just got hit on his motorbike.
Yeah.
There are much greater failures that come from rushing than taking our time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But we're so aware of them in those moments when things are going poorly because we're conscious, because nothing bad has happened.
Yeah. Traffic is like the ultimate perspective distortion.
Yeah.
It's
like the tiniest thing that has like grows to the very biggest when you're experiencing it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Get it together, folks.
Yeah.
If you got a traffic story, hashtag Ryan.
Oh, it's going to be such a weird hashtag. Oh, I can't wait.
What was our one from earlier that was just going to be,
hashtag New York City? Ben had a, we'll talk about this, it'll come into play in the game, so I won't spoil it, but Ben had a disgusting germophobia incident in New York City, so we've asked people to share their germophobia stories with the hashtag New York City.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Short story, can I just give the headline?
Yeah.
I might have touched semen. On a subway terminal.
A long time ago.
I went to pull a token out of the token slot. Like it didn't go through.
Yeah.
It came out. And then like there was something that was either, like we're either referring to it as fresh semen or evergreen loogie. That's like where my germophobia came from.
Oh, God. Wait, how old are you?
I'm going to say like 20.
Wow.
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's completely reasonable. Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't, yeah.
No. Oh,
Jesus.
Wow.
Oh, so I'm
let's move on.
Curious. I kind of diverted us a little bit by accident, but I'm a little curious about this. Like, you're, so growing up, so your mom made you stare in a mirror with a candle to see your dead
grandmother. Yeah.
What was your dad's whole deal? Was he into it or not?
Not really,
really
involved in it or part of it, or it just was not for him.
Yeah.
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 Which I hear.
Does he have any specific religious beliefs?
Yeah.
Well, I was raised conservative Jewish, and then when my parents got divorced, he goes to church now. So it's
really?
Yeah.
Since what?
Since I was like a senior in high school.
Huh. When did they get divorced?
When did they actually get divorced? Like 2004, okay. I bet. 2003 or 4, okay. I bet, is when they like officially.
But they were separated.
Yeah.
So they got divorced, and was it like your dad became a Christian, your mom became like a, became more interested in reincarnation, or how, like?
No. She was always interested in it, and then when my grandmother died, it just amped up her level of investment in it. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't something she was like, you know, she wasn't like a crazy lady on a street corner trying to like convince people that reincarnation is real or whatever. It was just like I'm glad she was very open, because I was like a kid, and that can be a weird thing, and I'm sure, you know, it can fuck up a lot of kids too. Tell them that kind of stuff too soon, but
probably not more than telling kids if you masturbate, you'll go to hell.
Yeah,
like
yes.
You know, I think that stuff is
much more detrimental.
Makes sense with the way the world actually looks than a lot of things that are more widespread.
Yes, yes.
If you masturbate other people, you might go to hell.
You might.
All right. I don't know. Maybe not. If they ask for it, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, go on.
No, so there wasn't his current wife is Christian, and so but now I think she's like converting to Judaism. So it's very complicated, but you know, they're open-minded religiously, and that's great.
I think that makes more sense because it's like I don't think religion is a bad thing, but I also think like it's insane to think there's an absolute true way
totally
that the world
agree.
Works. Like that seems truly insane
yes.
to me. So like just like, you know, I feel like bouncing between religions is the same thing as like bouncing between different like types of exercising throughout
Completely.
Your life. You're just like, what is helping me like improve my
life?
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think it's a thing too where it's like, believe whatever the hell you want to believe and just don't force it on anybody else.
Yeah.
And as long as you're not hurting anybody, do it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Never mind. I don't want to ask that question.
So you are not much of a hypochondriac.
Mm-mm.
I'm not. I'm like, I'll like leave leftovers out overnight and then won't even think twice about eating them the next day.
No.
It's like never
pizza?
Backfired.
Really?
Yeah. Like pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Like
stuff.
Chicken?
Like a bowl of cereal?
A bowl of cereal.
What would you leave out? This is important. What would you leave out and eat?
I mean pizza. But I mean it's still in the container. It's been and it's not like you know, it's not like the house is 90 degrees.
No,
so it's you know, resting at like a nice 72 for like 12 hours.
Yeah, yeah. That's fine.
And it's covered.
Yeah. That's like 120 degrees less than the pizza place would be allowed to say. But I'm not saying, I think that's just that's because people can sue them. You're not going to you can't win sue yourself.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You shouldn't at least.
No.
So you eat, are devil may care with your food.
Yeah.
And any, what other ways are you taking risks with your life?
In terms of germs or just in general?
Or in general.
I mean, every time I swim in the ocean, I think I'm going to get eaten by a shark.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that could happen.
Yeah.
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 Do you go to the ocean a lot?
No.
No.
I prefer a lake.
Yeah, me too.
I really prefer LA.
Yeah.
Ocean's
yeah.
so far. I mean, talking about that traffic, like the ocean, I mean, I feel like everyone here in Los Angeles talks about it, but
yeah.
it bears repeating for those of us in hashtag New York City. you get to the ocean and you chill out. By the time you're home from the ocean, you're the opposite of chill. Most stressful return.
It really is.
Car ride of all.
Yeah.
So it seems like, okay, so you're not a big germaphobe, but it does seem like you have a decent amount of fear about, like, different ways your environment could hurt you. Like, you know, like your airplane fears, your ocean fears. Mm-hmm. Like, so it seems like you are pretty afraid of dying.
I think, yes. Or just convinced that it's going to happen in a surprise.
You don't think you'll die naturally in your sleep. You think you'll get killed.
Yeah, by like a shark or a plane crash.
Some people I feel like have a strong sense of like how old they think they're going to live to. Do you is that ever a thing that crosses your mind?
I feel like I'm wrong a lot, just in the sense of like in my sense of direction. Like I will always go the wrong way.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when it's like, what do you think's going to happen? Whatever I say is incorrect. So part of me is like, I don't even want to pretend to be like, I'm going to live so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that's interesting that you do think something will kill you.
What do you think about your life?
Okay. So. Weirdly, this sounds really jinxy to say. I almost don't want to, like...
That's fair.
I'll say it.
Okay.
I'll say it, but also with the disclaimer that I don't know anything.
Okay,
but, like,
great.
So we started this podcast because we're both hypochondriacs and have a great deal of anxiety about our health and wellness. However...
That's why I started this podcast. I started this podcast because I'm an attention whore, and this requires people to listen to me.
But... In a weird way, I don't think – I think I'm going to die when I'm old.
Great.
I don't mm-hmm. imagine myself, like, prematurely getting sick or getting, like, killed in an accident. I just, like – and I think this might just be, like, what people talk about when they're like, you think you're immortal until something happens.
Yes.
Like, I think it's more just sort of a symptom of having, like – as much as I sort of whine and pretend that like I have so much, like that I'm have such a weird way of looking at the world, I think it's more just a symptom of actually a pretty healthy psyche.
Yes.
Like I don't like my health anxieties are much more, I think, just a manifestation of generalized anxiety
yes.
than an actual obsession with my own death. Like
cool.
I don't in my mind, I'm going to live forever, and then sometimes I realize I'll die at some point, and it always shakes me a little, but
yeah.
it's easy for me to forget.
That's great.
Do you, like...
I don't think about it all the time.
Yeah,
it's just when I'm in those situations, like when it's like...
Yeah.
You're at the beach, and it's like, oh, this could be the day.
What's the closest situation, like, what is the closest you think you've been to dying? Like, do you have any near-death experiences that stand out in your mind, or not really?
No.
Yeah.
No. No.
No surgeries.
No.
Or like,
No big sicknesses.
No.
No. How about you, Ben?
Near death? I almost fell off a cliff once.
Oh, my God.
What? Tell us.
I've told this story before.
Now I remember. Yeah.
There are these bluffs, you know, just like cliffside in Montaña de Oro, which uh-huh. is a little up north near Pismo Beach, Santa mm-hmm. Barbara area.
Uh-huh.
I was on the side and I was like, I wonder if I could sort of scale this little mm-hmm. cliffside. It wasn't very high and it didn't look all that dangerous except for the fact that there was like fast moving sand where I went to place my feet. And so like as I tried to like brace myself to make the initial climb, my feet started to slip and I started sliding towards the edge of the cliff, at which point I would have dropped like maybe somewhere in the 10 to 20 foot range.
Wow.
But onto a coral reef during high tide. Oh, so I would have died. I mean, I definitely would have died. God. And so I just sort of squatted down very quickly and like and was able to. I have a people at home. I've got a good sized booty, and I was able to indent it into the sand and just kind of scoot myself up to safety while screaming for my friend, who of course never came. Hashtag telekousis. And now when I think back on it, mm-hmm. I get that same sort of chill that you get at that moment when you're like, oh, I'm a dead person.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I don't even mean this jokingly, and I've accomplished nothing. Like, because that is the sort of the feeling. It's like, no matter what you've accomplished, I feel like as you're about to die, in a way that feels like both inside and outside of your control.
Yeah.
Like it was my stupidity, but the universe was going to take me. I was just like, oh, I failed in my existence.
Oh, it's the same as that traffic feeling, really, you know, where it weirdly always comes back to like, did I do okay? Like it's such a funny way that our brains are built.
Yeah.
And maybe also goes back to that thing that you were talking about where it's like, I don't remember how you said it exactly, but where you sort of feel like that there are certain things that you have to overcome in order to feel like this life was worth it.
Yeah.
And just like knowing that like the fact that feeling like I had done something stupid enough that like clearly I didn't learn my lesson.
Right.
I was like if you die of stupidity, it feels hard to feel like you've learned your lesson. Yeah.
I had a what felt like a near-death experience in the ocean in Mexico, like maybe like 5 years ago. Like a group of our friends used to go to this really cool place, like maybe like 45 minutes south of Tijuana, where it was like just this like sort of like secluded, super rustic little like kind of resort, like right on the ocean called La Fonda.
Uh-huh.
It was so cool. It would like, you know, just like all the room. It was like the kind of place where all the rooms had like fireplaces and a weird balcony that was kind of crumbling into the side of a cliff. And the beach was like, you know, would be pretty much like you and maybe like some weird European couple. Like it was just so cool.
Wow.
And it was the best. And the water was, you know, still super cold. You know, it's like just cold Pacific Ocean water. And so we didn't like do a ton of swimming. But everybody was on the beach and I went and swam with like one of our friends, and it was like enough of a undertow or a riptide or whatever, where like we got pulled out really quickly, and like within a split second went from being able to touch to like not knowing where the bottom was, and the water was so cold that my friend started, he was like struggling, and we were like, okay, let's go back in. And he started struggling like a little bit more, and he started doing that thing where he was like, you go ahead. And I was like, shit. And I was like, going through all those scenarios where I was like, if he goes under, he's like a large man.
Oh,
and I was like, can I grab him? Like, what do I do? What am I going to say to his boyfriend when we like go back on the beach and like something, and we were screaming and screaming for help and we could see all our friends, but they couldn't hear us.
Oh my God.
It was like, it was the scariest, I think the scariest moment of my life, because it was so helpless and so like just such a panicky moment. And then it was like just one of those things where it was probably 3 minutes in total. And then we like realized we could touch, you know, we were able to get in, and it was just like,
were you holding on to each other at that point?
No, because I don't think you're supposed to. It was just like we were both swimming, and like I was just like, we were just like, okay, let's like keep, like we were swimming and I was swimming and like shouting. And then we put our feet down and we got to shore, and it was like, so, like, I remember, like both of us just, he had to, like, go up to his hotel room and just, like, be by himself for a moment. And, we were just, like, it was, like, one of those things. Also, immediately when you start telling it to people, it's, like, just becomes, like, a funny, crazy story. But, like, just that moment.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Totally terrifying.
Terrifying.
I always wonder, like, this is, on subject, but also, do you have siblings, right?
Yes.
What number are you in the?
I'm the middle.
Oh, you're in the middle.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Madeline and I are both eldest, and I constantly feel the need to save others. I think as the result of being like the oldest.
Oh, yeah.
And just you frequently can't, and it feels like such a failure. But I mean, there's no failure in. Maybe there is a failure in that.
I don't know. It's like so tied up in your identity.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I just took Ben and I just took one of those like Myers-Briggs tests online, like where you like figure out your personality type.
Ooh.
It's really fun. I can't remember. We'll post the website. I'll find it. It broke it down in like a really like easy to read, fun way where you're like, that's so me. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. But like my personality type was the protagonist, which is like absolutely how I see myself, you know, and it's like has like good things and also just has like the bad side effects of just being like, I have to be the, you know, like I have to be the hero in this situation, which like nobody ever is asking for.
No,
like,
no,
no.
Oh, that's cool. I want to take that.
Yeah. Well, I'll find the link. We'll take it.
Cool, dude.
Do you want to play a game?
Yeah, I would love to play a game.
Is now a good time to play a game?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So this is a game called Germophobia, Would You Rather?
Oh, great.
So I am going to – now, Ben, you haven't seen the questions yet. So both of you can participate. I'm going to give you some would you rather situations.
Cool.
And you just have to tell me.
Okay.
Just to be clear, Madeline worded it that way because one time I got very mad when I wasn't included in the game.
Oh, that's so cute.
Very mad.
Oh, that's so great.
I called her a terrible person on air.
Did you really? Which episode was that?
Johnny Meeks.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, you were like,
so funny.
I'm not playing the game.
Yeah.
I forgot. I don't listen to any of them. And like, I have this experience and it goes right out of my brain and I never think about it again.
Funny.
Like Madeline's story from before, we can laugh about it now, but it was very serious.
Oh, man.
Friend lived. My feelings were saved. But yeah, let's play this great game.
Okay, great.
Okay. So would you rather bring your drink into the bathroom with you or pee and then not wash your hands?
It's so great, like answering these questions after hearing that Alan will instantly devour a 72 degree pizza.
Yeah, yeah.
Feels like both of these sound cool to you.
Can I ask?
Yeah, you can. Yeah,
well,
this is
I feel confident in the drink. I would bring a drink into the bathroom.
Yeah,
with me. Yeah.
Do you? And are you an always hand washer when you go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Can you repeat the second one again?
Like pee and then not wash your hands.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I think everyone on this planet has peed and not washed their hands.
Sure.
I mean, it's just
for
like a
long
thing
time,
that we do.
I would pee and run the water so people would think I was washing my hands.
Yeah.
And then not wash them because I just didn't want to be bothered.
Totally.
I've become more germophobic. Oh, I've talked about this before, but I've become a little more germophobic in the past few years, and now I a little bit compulsively wash my hands.
Do you think that's a product of the internet though too, and just like the hand sanitizer and all this other stuff that it's like we're all about to die from something and these are the precautions you need to take.
100%. I think it's absolutely a product of the internet.
And there's like 10 different soaps that are like 1 degree different from each other.
Oh, yeah.
Like shampoo and body washer, not super dissimilar.
No, they're not.
No,
we'll
it's
pay
all
for
the
it.
Same
yeah. all
crap.
Mm-hmm.
It is all the same.
So I guess given that we both are saying that we would do both of those things, which one feels less weird to you?
I do bring drinks into the bathroom.
Me too.
Yeah, me too. And some people are I think very weirded out by
Interesting.
That. Yeah.
I've eaten while I was shitting just because I thought it was like a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
At home or in public?
Yeah, that's that's the big thing.
Oh,
is
and
that, like,
I want to clarify, public restroom.
Hey, bring a drink.
Okay. Yeah, oh, sorry. Bring a drink into a public restroom.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, you wouldn't bring a drink into a public restroom.
For that exact reason.
I'm so sorry
that
for
I
not
feel
clarifying.
Like,
it's important.
That I feel like I would be judged. But at home, yeah, like when I go to the bathroom in the morning, I usually bring my like water bottle.
Oh, yeah.
With me. Yeah.
Your
yeah.
home
public,
bathroom
so, like,
is a different.
You're out
home
of the
bathroom,
bar,
totally
you're, like,
different.
You're having
story.
Like a vodka tonic and you have to go to the bathroom. Would you bring it in?
Do you bring it with you?
I wouldn't, but not because of the germ thing, just because it
agreed
is like,
or I mean, shame. I've done it before. I feel like at weddings.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. Okay. I'm going to go with the drink.
Yeah. Well, cause, and if, but you wouldn't pee and then not wash your hands. You're saying you kind of,
I mean,
pretty,
I know
yeah.
I do it yeah. sometimes without
yeah,
thinking, but
yeah.
I would say 90.
Cool.
Nine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's for other people.
6%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll say I'm more likely to wash my hands. Wait.
No. So you would rather bring a drink into the bathroom than neglect to wash your hands.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Next question.
I feel like that actually said a lot about us.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're great.
Okay. Would you rather eat a Skittle that you dropped on the sidewalk in Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
or take a bite of someone's ice cream who has a cold?
Oh God!
Yeah, that's an interesting.
Yeah,
one.
They get harder. Well, at least that was my goal. That's my goal, that they get harder.
They require some real introspection.
Yeah.
These aren't like. I mean, I do have an answer to that one.
I have an answer to
it. Oh, what is it?
It's the Skittle.
I'm
eating the Skittle. Yeah.
Yeah,
oh.
I'm eating the Skittle for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. There's. I mean,
it's got a candy. It's got that hard candy shell.
I also don't love the idea of eating someone's ice cream.
Yeah,
generally,
someone's ice cream is kind of gross.
Yeah, I mean, it's like there's a layer of saliva on top of the ice cream.
Yep.
I think sharing dairy in general is just not.
Yeah, sharing dairy is gross. Mm-hmm. I think okay. Yeah, and yeah, Skittle. Yeah,
Skittle.
Great. So Skittle.
Yeah.
We'd all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
Nice.
Okay. Would you rather let someone sneeze into your mouth or cough into your mouth?
Oh,
God. We have to. You're making us rather this?
Well, that's would you rather. It's supposed to be two equally undesirable scenarios.
I have a question.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Because isn't a sneeze, isn't the spew that comes, isn't it mouth?
Primarily mouth. It's like spit, yeah.
It's spit?
I think it must be. But so what we're saying is the snot. Snot in the mouth? Or
yeah,
cough
is it snot? Is it snot in mouth?
Uh-huh.
Or is it spit in mouth? Or is it a combo?
Bit, well, a little combo. I guess, like, think of a good. It's not like an allergy. It's not like a little, like, dust allergy sneeze. It's like a sneeze.
Okay.
It's like a when you're sick sneeze. So it's a reasonably wet sneeze.
Dude. Okay.
So then the cough
and
could also
and
be
a
phlegm.
Similarly reasonably wet cough.
Right.
So, not,
so it could be like.
Like whooping cough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like.
Okay. So let's go with that. Either a pretty sick sneeze or a whooping cough.
Yeah.
I guess I'm still going to take. Well, no, because.
I'm gonna take cough.
I'm gonna take the cough too,
Jesus,
just because it feels like
both of them are
mouth,
so horrible.
It feels like mouth to mouth over nose and mouth to mouth.
Yeah,
and that's just like we're very much on the same page about this. I guess I could have said
I don't ever need nose and mouth.
I don't know. But here's the thing about a cough and mouth: you get like a full taste of someone's like kind of breath. You know, like a cough, like you know,
I like. It sounded like you said coffin mouth.
Coffin.
like coffin, but also like cotton mouth.
Yeah.
But like
Yeah.
Okay. So, but you guys. So we're.
We're gonna say cough.
We're gonna say cough.
Yeah. We're gonna stick to cough.
Alan, remember that time during basketball when I wrapped your fingernails in Band-Aids? Yeah. They went and Alan and Madeline played in the same basketball league.
No, I quit.
No,
I quit, too.
I retired after the first season.
Yeah, I did. I did the same thing,
And there was a period where – sorry to interrupt the game. There was a period where they made everyone who had fingernails –
was it just me?
I think it was only
It was just me.
And so, yeah.
And the ref was like, you cannot play basketball with those. So we went to the little office and put Band-Aids.
Yeah.
Are those your – you have nice – are those real?
Well, they're real to some degree. They have a lot of stuff on top of them.
Are they acrylics?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. But they have grown. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. There's an episode of the podcast where I was – made to get acrylics for a commercial, and
yes.
I keep my nails super short, uh-huh. like it made me crazy.
Did it?
I totally get it.
I really get it.
Like it felt like my whole like I felt like I was like I don't know like how I imagine people must feel when they get enormous like prosthetic makeup and they're like yeah. I gotta get it out of this. Yeah. I felt like that.
It's very weird. it's a very weird. It's like an appendage. It's yeah. Like an extra. Yeah.
But it's so cool.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
Thanks.
Screw you, basketball league.
Yeah. Yeah, basketball league. Yeah.
Okay, would you rather eat an apple slice that is covered in dust or an apple slice that is covered in dirt?
Dirt.
Dirt.
Yeah, because apples come from the earth.
Yes.
Yeah, but also not a little dirt. Like it's how been dropped. Like,
what kind
covers
of dirt?
The entire wet surface. Like, an apple slice, it's ugh. Been... Like,
wet
imagine, like, you know, just like a dirt, like patch of dirt outside. It's been like dropped and rolled around in the dirt. So it is like fully, somebody covered it in dirt. It's not natural. Same
how
with
much
the
dust?
Dust?
Oh, it's a ton
same,
of dust?
Same with the dust.
It's gotta
like
be full the dirt.
It's gotta be dirt.
It's gotta be dirt.
Yeah, I think dirt too.
Yeah.
I think dirt too.
I think, but also, I feel like I'm also having an allergic reaction to the one that has dust.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Isn't dust like 90% bug legs or something?
Oh. I heard it was 90% dead skin.
Ew, that's even worse.
Yeah, but I don't, we probably heard it from similar sort of like.
That's 180%.
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrifying.
That's really awful. Yeah, dirt feels natural to me in a way that's not off-putting enough.
Yeah.
Can we add a question? Would you rather dust be 90% bug legs or 90%
dead skin?
Which would you guys prefer?
Ooh.
I think I'd rather it be dead skin.
I think I'd rather it be bug legs.
We always disagree on stuff like this.
Yeah. We have tremendously different worldviews.
I think that's awesome.
No, I think it's sort of like it's the balance to this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we have very different. Oh, well, let's move on with this question. But,
I think bug legs too. And I really hate bugs.
Me
but
too.
I think bug legs.
Yeah.
Dead skin to me is creepy. Gross. Oh,
So you'd rather it be bug legs?
I'd rather bug legs.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm just feeling like it's probably my dead skin.
Mm-hmm.
So like I'm just putting it back in.
Sure.
But yeah, I hear you. Like, that's one. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know how Madeline thinks this thing. But in this case, I just think like both
you
are good
understand.
Answers. Yeah.
Okay. Would you rather eat spaghetti with like a big black hair in it?
Oh.
Or eat a slice of pizza that like... 10 flies have been crawling all over.
Hair.
Wait, just crawling? They're not there currently?
But they were there for like a long... Like, they're there, and when you pick up the pizza, they fly away because they're not like dead.
Right.
But like, it basically like big, long, black, curly hair in spaghetti. Or slice of pizza. You approach a slice of pizza, there's 7 to 10 flies
crawling on it. No, not 7 to 10. That's too
lot.
Many flies.
Yeah. That's like a... It's a bowling term.
Yeah. Well, Seth, because like everything has a fly land on
right,
at some point.
Yes.
But like this is like,
the fact that they've been lingering there for so long, because I mean, when I think of flies lingering, it's like on a dead thing.
Yeah.
It makes me think like that pizza's no good.
Yeah.
Where in the hair, it's just like, I don't know.
Whoops.
Yeah, whoops, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But like the thought that like there are just flies around.
Nah.
If it was, like the
they're
fact that they're like,
it. Yeah,
right. I mean, even the fact that they, because I, you know, do you guys ever go to cider mills? Like, are you places where they have cider mills?
No,
that'd be fun.
There's like always maybe 15 bees that are swarming around your like donut or something
like
that.
Yeah.
I would eat those bees to get to the donut.
Bees are not gross like flies.
No.
That's true.
Because bees hang out on flowers and flies hang out on poop.
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
That's the main difference.
Yes.
Oh, say like, no more. You just need to say nothing else.
Also, did you ever, this is like, I feel like I learned this fact about flies around the same time that I learned that dust is maybe 90% human skin, that like flies, when they're rubbing their little hands together, they're throwing up their food, which is basically poop. They're like vomiting poop onto their little fly hands and like rubbing them together. So whenever you see a fly doing that thing where it like rubs its little...
What is the purpose of that? Do you know?
I can't remember.
Oh.
If you know.
Zig is looking it up, I think. What is it, Zig?
Fly facts are interesting.
Hashtag fly facts
if you've got more information on...
Why do flies rub their hands together?
Why are they just so gross in general?
When you see flies... Wait, can you turn it? When you see flies rubbing their legs together, they are cleaning themselves. Flies rely on their compound eyes, antenna, and the bristles on their bodies and legs to sense the world around them. They have to keep these sense organs clean. Okay, that's not as interesting.
Hey, man, why are you hanging out on poop? If
then yeah. Easy way to keep yourself clean. Don't stand on poop every day.
Don't stand on poop.
Okay. Would you rather sit next to a person on a plane who is uncontrollably coughing or uncontrollably sweating?
Oh.
Non-stop, like both of, and both like more than normal, like noticeably, like coughing so much is making your chair shake, or sweating so much like the side of your arm is damp.
Just a little.
Well, the person I'm sitting next to is sitting next to someone who's sweating so much.
I mean, it's, are you a plain sweater?
I don't know. I made it for the joke's sake. It's entirely possible. Though. I'm a big boy. I got a big booty. That's how I saved my own life. The coughing one sounds worse to me.
The coughing one sounds worse to me, too. Oh. Also, I feel like you can get more contaminated as a person from the coughing than you can from.
Except for if someone is sweating that much, something is really wrong.
I agree with you.
So, there's going to be a line at which... I would say the default answer is going to be coughing bad, but there probably is a point at which the sweating becomes
yes.
Like if what you're saying become like if in my head I can conjure up some imagery of what's causing this sweat and it feels more contagious than the cough.
Yeah. Yes.
But if it's just like
nervous,
exactly. Uh-huh.
Yeah. For some reason in my mind when I imagine this person, I imagine they're burping. I don't know why.
Just sweating and burping.
Yeah, who is this?
He's related. I don't know why. Like someone.
Feels like a Tribe Called Quest song to me.
Sweating and like not big burps, but like those little like in your mouth burps.
Ew, you know, like, that's even like, worse. That's so funny.
So basically, he's like, so it's the kind of sweating where like someone's probably has the flu and they're gonna vomit.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of sweat.
That makes me think, why aren't more people, when people are coughing like what you're talking about, because you've been on a flight with somebody, Madeline talked about being on a flight with somebody that was like horribly sick, wasn't it? It was coughing too, right?
Throwing up.
Right, yeah. So like why?
We were coming back from Mexico and a guy right in front of us was so sick they tried to take him off the plane and he refused and then just barfed the whole time.
Oh no.
It was right during Ebola.
Yeah.
Oh, my Ebola God. Time. No.
So you best believe I got nervous.
Oh, yeah. Well, people should be coughing in those barf bags, too.
Yeah
they should.
Yeah.
They should stop calling it a barf bag and just make it a sick bag.
Yeah.
And for
have
all
you
people
ever
who are
worn,
sick.
Like a mask or anything on a
have you?
Plane? No.
No. Mm-hmm. It would be smart to.
I know.
But I never have.
If they made them cool looking.
Right.
Yeah.
If it was like, this is an accessory, like headphones.
Yeah.
Also, how boring are the instructions for how to use all that stuff? Like, I was just thinking on the flight the other day that, like, I'm very ill-prepared due to their boredom for if something bad happened. I don't actually pay attention to the...
Have you... Oh, I don't know if this is just a rumor or what, but I heard that the reason you put your head between, like, you tuck your head, is because if the plane crashes... Everybody's neck just breaks.
Oh.
No.
Just like snapping necks left
so
and right.
So it's just like put everybody out of their misery because better knock out.
Wait, because you'll break
you'll
your
die.
Neck faster
you'll
if
just,
your head is
as
between
opposed
your legs.
To like slowly drowning or whatever the crowd or burning.
No.
Yeah.
Wait, that is quite a conspiracy theory.
I don't
theory.
Know if it's real or not, but I read it.
Yeah.
Where did you? It'll snap. Everybody's neck will just snap.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's terrifying.
I know.
Zig, can you confirm that?
You said you heard that on Reddit. It was in an Ask Me Anything.
It was in an Ask Me Anything. Yeah.
It's asking an airplane.
Yeah.
Because how much, if the plane is going down,
yeah.
What, how much can they actually do?
I think
seems
nothing.
Like nothing. Yeah.
Unless you're Sully.
Yeah.
When you landed
I that's why I think a plane crash just now thinking about it that way it's like leapt to the top of my list of like horrible ways to die because you have too long to be aware of it.
Yeah.
You don't need that.
And also like if the first thing that would kill you during a plane crash doesn't kill you, then it's just like, what's the next thing
horrible.
That could get you?
Horrible.
Like,
yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. According to the Federal Aviation Administration, there are two primary reasons for bracing for impact, neither of which has to do with quickly dispatching those who are about to die anyway, or better preserving what will be left of them post-crash so as to spread identification of bodies. One purpose is to reduce flailing, and the other is to decrease secondary impact. Flailing can be cut back by having the seat occupant in some manner flex, bend, or lean forward over the leg.
Oh, that'd be flexing
and
up a storm.
Secondary impact can be lessened by positioning the body, particularly the head, against the surface it would strike during impact. That sounds like someone covering up a conspiracy
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
Okay, two last questions.
Okay, great.
Would you rather tongue kiss a random dog or lick a stranger's palm?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And really. Also, like, put your feelings about bestiality aside. Like, it's not, like, a gross, creepy
right.
thing. Like,
no.
you have to basically, like, put, you know, do
it's
it, like, put
sexual.
Your tongue.
Yeah.
Put your tongue against a random dog's tongue or,
right.
like, give a long lick to a stranger's palm.
So I'm not allowed to take into consideration that I like bestiality, is what you're saying?
No. Not in this podcast. That's for your different podcast about how you a freak.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Welcome to Ben's different podcast about why I a freak. Today we're discussing dog tongues.
I listen to that for sure.
Madeline, will you co-host with me?
Yeah, no.
It's another area in which we differ.
I won't.
Okay. What are you going to go with, Ellen?
And any stranger. Or is it a gross-looking stranger?
It's a randomly chosen stranger. So a randomly chosen dog and a randomly chosen stranger. You go to Griffith Park, go to a dog park. You know, some dog will be randomly chosen and some person will be randomly chosen. So it could be gross, could not be. You have to roll the dice.
Here's the thing with the dog, the randomly chosen dog. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I'd rather that be a dog that I know because I would never put – because the dog would bite my tongue off.
It's a friendly dog.
It's a friendly dog.
Yeah, we're talking germ fears, not dog fears.
Right, right.
So friendly dog.
Okay. Is the dog owned by someone?
It could be, most likely, okay. But again, we're just talking random sampling
okay.
of
dogs. And we're not allowed to wonder why we're licking in the first place?
You're licking because you agreed to participate in a like in some kind of
right, okay.
Fear factor, a low grade, a fear factor that I host, so this is the scariest it gets.
Yeah.
I don't know why licking the palm is so repulsive to
it's,
me.
It really is.
I don't know why. Even licking your own palms is disgusting.
There's just something about, one, the fact that it's a dog is lessening the grossness of
yes.
it. I also wouldn't want to lick a dog's paw.
No. Mm-hmm.
But, I think I'm going to go with the dog
Me
tongue.
Too.
Dog tongue?
I think what I'm going to say is that it's a tongue-on-tongue thing that's,
uh-huh.
like, making it more palatable
mm-hmm.
to me.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. I think,
uh-huh.
yeah, I'm just going to go
yeah.
with.
Yeah. Me too.
I think we're 100% agreement.
Wow.
Do you want to host a bestiality podcast?
Yeah, baby.
Okay, so final question.
Yeah.
This comes from two real experiences.
Okay.
One of them, Ben's. One of them.
Mine?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of them, a previous guest, Josh Epstein's experience.
Okay, great.
So would you rather reach into a token hole on the New York City subway,
okay.
Back when tokens right. were still a thing, and touch what might be semen or might be an evergreen loogie.
Great.
Or would you rather use a truck stop toilet and subsequently realize it's covered in semen?
Yeah. And it gets on, like, your privates.
It gets on your... Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that was
yeah.
what happened. He
semen
got a little
gets,
on
yeah, would you
what?
Rather get semen yeah. on your penis?
Like, it was like a truck... Yeah. Would you rather...
Would you rather touch
subway semen... Subway token,
semen... or get truck stop semen on your penis?
In this case.
If you had... I think this works best if you had a penis. I do, because
I
think
it's
like... Funny. Like, yeah.
This is the first hypothetical
we've made. It's 2016.
We
can all imagine we have a penis.
Yes, we
it's
all
fluid.
Can. Absolutely. I think I want to touch it in the subway
yeah.
token, I think. I think.
Mm. Yeah.
Because if... Oh.
Yeah.
But
it's
Jesus.
It's kind of
yeah.
the opposite of the... the dog tongue answer, that I think it's worse to get someone else's, like a strange truck stop semen on my penis than on my hand.
Yeah. I think that's really awful. That's horrible.
But like the subsequent, what's making it hard for me is like, if you're on the getting like subway semen on your hand, then you have to like ride the train.
Yeah.
With, like, you have to like go through the next chapter of your day without like washing your hands.
Right.
That's true.
Right. And if you're in a truck stop bathroom, at least you can like wash your shit off fast.
That's
and
good
like,
point.
You know?
The idea that it would ever be there in the first place is so horrifying
to
me.
Horrible.
Yeah.
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 This
horrible.
Is, yeah. This is maybe unanswerable, but if forced to, on the count of three, let's. One, two, three.
Subway
truck
token. Really?
Our first disagreement. Wait, so which one's the? We're saying which one's worse?
Oh no, I
no,
think
trucks rather. Yeah.
Oh right. Then okay. Then reverse my
one,
answer.
Okay. Two,
three.
Subway,
subway token.
Subway token.
Yeah.
Great. Zig, do you have an answer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man.
You thought you could get off the hook.
Yeah. For the last one, I think subway token. Like I can wash my hands at any time.
That's yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You convinced me with the fact that you would be unable to clean yourself in the subway.
Yeah.
And in fact, it would get worse in the subway just from being in the subway.
Oh, so you would rather truck stop semen?
I want to touch the semen token.
Yeah.
That's
Alan
what
wants
I prefer.
To touch the token semen. Zig wants to touch the token semen.
Yeah.
You want to get your penis in truck stop semen.
Just to be clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
This is no longer a game of would you rather. This is a game of will you go to a truck stop with me? And the answer for me is yeah, boy.
Yeah, boy.
Just the thing that you said about being having it just on me forever.
Yeah.
Not forever, but.
But.
Well, no, I guess forever.
For an extended period of time.
I jump right in front of the subway train.
Yeah.
As soon as it happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, I guess. But if I can clean, I'm much worse to get truck stop semen on your.
Oh, my God.
Well.
Alan, thank you so much for playing this game.
God.
Thanks. You were a wonderful
guest. Thank you
guest.
For having me.
Do you want to let the people know your any social media handles or anything you want to plug specifically?
I'm on Twitter.
Nice.
Cool.
Just Alan Rachel on Twitter.
Include her in all these wonderful hashtags.
Yeah. Yes, please.
New York,
hashtag
Ryan.
New York City. Hashtag Ryan. Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Watch her on The Good Place and Loosely and, Exactly Nicole.
Oh, yeah. On NBC and MTV, respectively.
Respectively.
Thanks,
yeah. Of course. Thank you.
This is so fun.
Such a lovely
You're
time
so
having
cool.
you. You are.
Woo.
Thank you.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
You can follow us on Twitter at Definitely Dying. And until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.